You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, you can follow this show on podcast form. If you want to hear part of it again, just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org, where you can also listen to the show live by streaming it online or download segments of the show. Like today's show will be up by tomorrow, and we'll have them posted. And we are really cruising right now. So, hey, by the way, Copper, let's see where we are on podcast downloads. What's your best guess? What are you thinking right now? Where do you spec we are, Copper, in terms of downloads?
1,400.
I'm looking. 1,400 or 1,000?
Oh, 14,000. Yes.
No. But we are pushing close to 13,000. So that's. So usually you're undercounting. This time you got like overzealous on me, but nonetheless, it's still good. I mean, we're just under 13,000 downloads right now, and
nice.
Things keep on the way they are. I'm hoping that we'll see 13,000 by the end of this week.
Yeah.
But anyway, just tickled to death of that. I mean, that's just something that is a blessing. But hey, listen, I am going to spend some time right now delving into foreign policy. I am not a member of the State Department, never have been, never wanted to be, still don't want to be. But I will tell you this, foreign policy is a little bit of a passion with me, and I cannot imagine for the life of me how we can see more debacles than we're seeing right now on a foreign policy arena. Sometimes it includes our military, sometimes it's purely State Department, but literally what is happening right now around the world with Biden policies in the foreign policy arena is becoming more and more worrisome. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like a lot. Speaking of which, Copper, go ahead and get clip three ready, please. Clip three. Just put it on the board when you're ready with it. But the deal is this. We have, if you had to give it labels, what they often refer to China and Russia as in terms of their military capacity, they are what we call a near-peer adversary, both of them. China and Russia are considered near-peer adversaries, meaning they are close in their capacity. At the very least, they are near to being one of our peers in terms of their military capacity. Now, Russia, we've known for years. I mean, I grew up in the Cold War era. They are, of course, a nuclear nation. They are a nation that has come out of communism. And they struggle now economically within the realm of being a free world, no longer the Soviet Union. They broke apart. All that to say, Russia, near peer, but not necessarily thriving and growing, although they are still very much an aggressor. The one that to watch right now is China. China, on the other hand, looking at an article right here, pull this one up. This one came off of World Politics Review, and I'm sitting here looking at it, published about a week and a half ago. China's rise over the past two decades has remade the landscape of global politics. Think about that. Has remade the landscape of global politics. Beginning with its entry into the World Trade Organization, China rapidly transformed its economy from a low-cost factory to the world to a global leader in advanced technologies. And along the way, it has transformed global supply chains, but also international diplomacy, leveraging its success to become the primary trading and development partner for emerging economies across Asia, Africa, and Latin America. They do. So China inserts itself into third world countries where there is some level of instability, or at the very least, they don't identify as well with the United States and other Western nations. And immediately China shows up, hey, we'll take care of you. We'll give you what you need. And they suddenly have hemispheric alliances that they never had before. That's all been developing rapidly in the last 20 or so years. That being said, China also was expected to, you know, when it moved into the global economy, that was the thing, right? Get them in the World Trade Organization. They'll become, you know, far more liberal at home. They'll be more moderate abroad. It'll be great. Well, that was seen in this same article as being now reviewed as overly optimistic. You think? Especially since President Xi Jinping rose to power in 2012. Now, let me tell you about Xi real quick. Xi Jinping He's a hardliner. But he did something recently that no one was expecting. Z has gone to the point of asserting and being awarded the opportunity to be premier for life. That was not the way it was when he first took power. That occurred in the last few months. So the national leadership met, and they affirmed, I believe it was actually affirmed as a change to their constitution, that should Xi choose to remain in office, he shall, until such time as he decides to leave. This is the beginnings of totalitarianism. This is the beginnings. They're in totalitarianism, but now you're looking at the beginning of tyranny because you have one individual who is asserting that measure of authority in the state. Now, General Jack Keane had some comments on this recently, and I found them to be very savvy. I mean, he always is. He nails it. But General Keane talked about this rise of China. He also mentioned the fact that people aren't really paying attention to the fact that apparently even our own State Department is acknowledging that Russia has amassed over 100,000 troops, 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine, causing a great deal of concern. Copper, go ahead and play that clip from General Keane.
Well, first of all, we predicted this as a result of this incredible collapse in Afghanistan. We said it would embolden our adversary. So what have we seen? We've seen China increase its intimidation and coercion of Taiwan in a way that it has never done before, with 150 airplanes just on one weekend alone, not to speak of the civil society that they're undermining every single day inside of Taiwan itself. We've seen the Iranians attack the United States in a base in southern Syria with five armed drones. The purpose? To kill U.S. troops that were stationed there. We got early warning. We got our people out, fortunately. And there's been no response to that. The Iranians backed militia inside of Iraq have attempted to kill the Iraqi prime minister. Now, that's a first. And why is that? Because that same prime minister wants U.S. troops to stay in Iraq. And obviously, Iran, knowing full well that seven military bases and multiple CIA bases are no longer on their eastern border, wants the United States out of their western border. So here comes Russia. And we said that Russia would likely step up its activity in Ukraine as a result of the collapse of Afghanistan. And we're seeing that here. He has moved an elite tank guard unit closer to that border. Now, what our Defense Intelligence Agency is likely looking at, this is...
All right. Solid assessment. What he's looking at there is the rise of China is coming on the heels of them being admitted into the World Trade Organization, on the heels of Xi Jinping being given total control to remain in office for so long as he should choose, to include his lifetime. And then on top of that, you have the fact that their military buildup is becoming very different. So this same article I was reading a minute ago from World Politics Review makes note of the fact that China's military was once considered to be personnel heavy, meaning that it was like a light infantry, not entirely, but that they were largely what was considered to be a large but light force, mostly made up of troops. Now, though, the Chinese military has overhauled itself into a force, it says, capable of fighting on land, sea, and air, and in space, as well as in the cyber domain. And they have cutting-edge equipment. They recently, you may recall, had their hypersonic missile test. If you're not familiar, and I'm not totally familiar, a hypersonic missile is one that is able to fly at hypersonic speeds, obviously, but it also has the ability to basically juke and evade our anti-missile test missile batteries and basically arrive at its target by a circuitous route if it needs to. And it was not entirely accurate. The testing didn't show it to be highly accurate, but it got close enough to where the fact that it can fly at those speeds and move like it can puts us into a new category of their capabilities. Now, one of the things that happened just yesterday is President Xi Jinping and our own President Biden had what they were referring to as a virtual summit. Basically, they spent several hours. Well, you know, I said yesterday, it was kind of like when it was all over and done, it just felt more like Xi Jinping was playing chess and Biden was playing checkers. I mean, even going into it, if you remember back in, what was this, like July or June? It was June, actually. Here it is. It was June, story on Fox reminding us that in June, Peter Ducey dared to ask Jen Psaki about, actually the president, I believe, asked about his relationship with between Biden and Xi Jinping. And Biden's response was, he bristled up and he said, let's get something straight. We know each other well. We're not old friends. It's just pure business. And then yesterday, they get on there, and through the translator, the first thing Xi says is, I am happy to see my old friend. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was immediately setting the tone. Don't try to distance yourself from me, big boy. And he makes you wonder what he's got on him. Hannity last night, Hannity even said on his own show that China basically bullied Biden in the meeting, in Hannity's opinion. I don't know if it's entirely true or the assessment would be, but listen to this. I mean, Hannity points out, Biden in these 3.5 hours, according to the transcripts, never once mentioned the origins of COVID-19. He failed to address China's hostile activity in the Pacific Ocean. He refused to stand up for Taiwan amid constant threats of forcible reunification. And he went on to say that after the call, China then, and this is true, after the call, China immediately pivoted from their diplomatic dialogue and verbally attacked the United States by saying that we were playing with fire if we want to support Taiwan. You don't come, I mean, this is diplomacy speak here, all right? I get it. It's a nuanced thing. It's, you know, it's watch the language, it's read between the lines. But you don't come out of a three-hour meeting between the two premiers, the president and the premier, and then literally go straight into sending threats or aggressive tones. It basically says, you didn't scare us in the meeting, and we're asserting that to the world. That's where we are right now. China's on the rise. I got a little more on that. We're going to head to a break right now, which is amazing. We're already there. I'm going to head to a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk about that some more. By the way, the phone lines are open. You want to call in? Let's do it. 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Call in. Whatever you got, we'll talk about it. Try to stick to the topics for the day. It'll be great. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, continuing on with this discussion about China, all right, it is not something to be taken lightly. It's not purely a diplomatic thing. It is also, by the way, being seen as the escalation of tensions that could lead to a new Cold War. You don't want to be there again. You know, we don't want to be there again. And there's going to have to be a firm stance. And right now, it's not being seen that on the world stage, the Biden administration understands what a firm stance is. The Afghanistan debacle, in fact, General Keane's comment said it a moment ago, the Afghanistan debacle has literally told our world aggressors that we're not serious, that we don't follow through, that we'll even abandon our own citizens if that's what it takes to go ahead and try to avoid, you know, the uncomfortable aspects of armed conflict. And the fact that we now have the Biden administration doing that in Afghanistan has emboldened China. Now, China, soon thereafter, if you remember, the whole situation with Taiwan, keep in mind, Taiwan is considered to be a breakaway republic from mainland China by the Chinese. They are autonomous in the sense that they operate as an independent nation. We provide them aid. And then we have this thing they call strategic ambiguity, where we don't necessarily declare we recognize them as a sovereign nation. But we sort of treat them as such. We enter into trade agreements. We enter into weapon sales agreements. We provide them with training and for their military. And I'm telling you, it's becoming more and more a thing. So the other morning, General Kellogg, who used to be a senior advisor to Vice President Pence, retired 4-star, I believe, or maybe a 3-star. Anyway, General Kellogg literally was asked, what do you think is going to happen with Taiwan in the future? And do you think we'll see something happen like after the Beijing Olympics, which I believe are summer of next year, 2022? His assessment is he believes that, yes, we better keep a strong eye on Taiwan. The aggression is ramping up right now, and that there's concern that once the Olympics are out of the way, that Beijing may take military action against Taiwan, believing that the Biden administration would do nothing. Well, Singapore yesterday, after so article in Bloomberg, I'm looking at it right now, article in Bloomberg, Singapore's prime minister has warned of a U.S.-China miscalculation over Taiwan. And basically what the prime minister of Singapore is saying is he thinks that tensions over Taiwan could just lead to a misstep that could break out into all-out war. Singapore's Prime Minister Lee said, "We should be concerned. I don't think it's going to war overnight, but it's in a situation where you can have a mishap or a miscalculation and suddenly be in a very delicate situation." So, you know, he points out, we've been engaging significantly with Taiwan as if they are a separate entity. China, though, has increasingly been testing the Taiwan's air defenses by flying hundreds of military sorties into their airspace. And then, yet at the same time, Taiwan's government in Taipei, which is their capital, has been starting to do things like print their own passports, which is seen as being a diplomatic slap in the face to China. So here you have Lee's comments, Singapore's Prime Minister Lee, coming the day of, the same day as the meeting with Xi and Biden. And I'm just telling you, Gordon Chang right now, and if you want to see some commentary on China, look for Gordon Chang. Gordon Chang is a Chinese dissident. He wrote in The Hill yesterday afternoon, he literally said that the Biden-Xi summit, that meaningless talk can wind up leading to war because there was nothing in it. It was meaningless. It did not provide anything to forestall to deter military aggressiveness. He points out right now that people are not even paying attention to the fact that China is moving in on Indian territory right now and had a conflict where they killed 20 Indian soldiers. And while China's doing that, Russia is rolling its 100,000 troops up to the Ukrainian border. And that he does not believe they are operating unilaterally. He believes the two, China and Russia, are coordinating their policies and even their military policies. They're not allies in a sense, he said, but they're somewhat better than allies. And, you know, here we are looking at a recent study that says that our military is not equipped right now for a two-front war. And Biden's in charge on the heels of Afghanistan. So literally, Chang says that America's deterrence of China is breaking down. And China is pursuing at a rapid rate the escalation of everything it takes to keep their economy alive, because they are struggling, but to grow its military into a capacity that puts them on more than a near peer adversary. Their goal is to be a peer or more. All right, folks, listen, phone lines are going to be open, 866-494-9866. Call on in, 866-494-9866. I've run the triple dipper for the day. Let's talk a bit, 866-494-9866, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.